give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5 The Fanatic.
O'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Devon Gibbons with you until midnight, 610-632-0975. We have Dylan McKinnon in here producing the show. We are talking about, of course, the Flyers, because now we have transitioned from in the post to in the crease following the Flyers' Game 1 victory over the Montreal Canadiens 2-1. We'll take your thoughts on the Flyers, this game, how they got it done, and why you still simply believe that this team can win. 610-632-0975. And what makes this team the team, you know, to beat in the Eastern Conference at this point? What makes them so good that they are the ones that, while everyone else is talking about, oh, maybe it was the excuses of the other teams out there in the playoffs weren't playing as hard, they weren't trying to get hurt or injured or anything along those lines. Well, guess what? Have at it, because the Flyers just go out there and just take the W's. Just take it for what it is. They get the wins, and now we are in a place where they have taken game number one. They're the number one seed in the East. And for a lot of people here, at least locally, you believe now, and you are, in fact, the favorites in winning this particular matchup against the Canadiens in round number one. I think I saw for a lot of people the predictions were simply, I think they had them, it's the Flyers winning in five for the most part for the Flyers. Yeah, I think it was five I saw for a majority of the predictions that I've seen out there. They were winning in five. So what are your thoughts? Game number one, take the W. Are you surprised, to be honest with you? And what has you very confident still about this hockey team? 610-632-0975. Just because we are in the crease doesn't mean we cannot go in the post with the Sixers. Falling to the Toronto Raptors tonight, 125-121. It looked like it was going to go into overtime for a bit. We were all sitting in here like, uh-oh, it's about to happen. I didn't mind it because, hey, get some of those other guys some more work. Yeah, they're going to get work against the Houston Rockets in a meaningless game in the final seeding game on Friday. But I was like, all right, go for it. Get some work in there and let these guys get out there and get it done. I'm not mad at that. Not ashamed to have them out there getting some extra work, because they're probably going to need some of these players when it all comes down to it. When Brett Brown set that rotation of eight to nine, things changed when Ben Simmons got hurt. So now you have to adjust. And that might mean extending your playoff rotation with Simmons no longer available to you. Good to have Embiid back. Simmons is not walking through that door in the first round, so you're going to need help from many others. You're going to need help from many others. So these guys that are getting this extra run, Joao Neto, Glenn Robinson, who did leave with a hip pointer again. Remember, he had the hip flexor problem early on in these seeding games. And that is I want to see Glenn Robinson out there a little bit more because of his wing play, the depth that they have now at the wing with Matisse Thybulle needing more minutes from time to time. Glenn Robinson, if Richardson or Harris get into foul trouble, that's where you want to go for the defense. You're not going to count on Furkan Korkmaz, even though we'll get to an audio cut from Brett Brown where he has faith, it appears, in Furkan Korkmaz's defense. I do not share the same sentiments as Brett Brown. Will he give the effort? Yeah. Is he long at 6'6"? Absolutely. Doesn't mean that he's going to be good against Hayward, Brown, Tatum, even Smart when he comes in off the bench as well. Semi Ojeleye also, who's very physical. 610-632-0975. So we can also go in the post with the Sixers as well. Give us a call, 610-632-0975, just as Mitch in Phoenix has done. So we'll go to Mitch to start things off for us tonight here on The Fanatic. Mitch, how you doing?
How you feeling over there in very muggy, soggy Philadelphia?
What's going on over there? We got a lot of rain today. You know, you take the rain, but then that mugginess just follows, man.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've been hearing a little bit off and on. I can't feel bad for you guys.
I know you're in Phoenix for 108.
Yeah, we got the hottest summer ever on record this year. It's been horrible. I mean, I can't explain it any better. It's like 110 to 115 in the daytime, and you might get an overnight low in the high 80s.
Wow.
So there's really no break from day to night. It's just been bad.
Before you get to your sixes point, as you explain that, what now, what's going on with the virus out there? Are things kind of slowing down out there a bit?
No, not at all.
No.
It's bad here. It's bad Florida. It's bad in Texas. It's bad in California. It's all just right. bad.
Because I have a friend, young kid, who's going back to Arizona State University, and he's going back out there and, you know, just trying to, you know, kind of gauge where Phoenix is as he gets ready to go back.
You haven't talked to your cousin much at all?
Yeah, but he's, you know, he's been in Orlando for the last
four weeks. He probably has contacts in Phoenix now that he's been there almost a year.
Yeah, but you know, I figured I'd talk to you and see what's going on out there.
Yeah, I'm a little confused with these games. In Orlando, are they meaningless games? Is that why the Sixers didn't have any starters in the fourth quarter?
Meaningless in terms of they were already pretty much, by the time this game got underway, Mitch, not that the games were meaningless before tonight, but when they took the floor this evening, Mitch, the Indiana Pacers had already won. So with their win, they had locked themselves into that 5 seed in the playoffs. So the Sixers were going to be the 6 seed no matter what happened tonight.
Oh, okay.
That's why tonight was meaningless. But it was good for the work. Meaningless overall, just in terms of what I meant there. Yeah.
You know, Embiid, you've been watching him. I've been watching him since we drafted him. He has no pain tolerance. The guy gets slapped on the hand.
I saw the same thing. Go ahead.
Yeah. He gets slapped on the hand. He looked at his hand countless times. They pull him out of the game. I think it's a lady that's the trainer.
Yes.
She's massaging the hand. Yes. He's like, I'm hurting. You know, what happened to the ice and the Advil? Well, you know, that used to work really well.
I see.
Now, all of a sudden, they massage the hand and they put him in another area of the bubble to make sure that he didn't break anything.
Yeah. I saw that and I'm looking at it and I'm saying, you know what? This is crazy, man, because... Why is he wincing again? Now, listen, I've been smacked in my hands plenty of times in a situation like that, and it hurts and it stings and all of that. But with his history, as you're talking about, Mitch, I understand where you're coming from in terms of pain tolerance. And look, Mitch, they're going to need him. They're going to need him to possibly play through some pain as well against that Boston Celtics team in round number one, because they are the underdog. They are no lock to advance past the Boston Celtics in round number one. So they're going to need him at his best when things get underway next week.
And, you know, when you watch Toronto before they took the starters out, when they play their defense, and they can play defense, that coach knows what he's doing. And they do that double team on Embiid. He still doesn't get it. He still don't understand when you feel that action coming at you from both sides of your body. You got to do something other than bump around a little bit and then lose the ball. There's got to be something more in his repertoire other than that.
No, listen, I hear you, man. Mitch, thanks for the update as well out there in Phoenix for my buddy. Thank you, and a great call, of course, on the Sixers and what you're talking about. Yeah, man, Embiid does get banged up. I mean, I'm sure there are other times where he's played through things and you simply look at him and you say, you know what, this is a tough dude. He has done that. But for the most part, I understand where Mitch is coming from with the pain tolerance and something as simple as just, yeah, you get smacked in your hand. I know you wanted to play through that and it's not a big deal. But knowing that this was a meaningless game, playing the 13 minutes, I thought it at the moment, but I'm like, let me give him a break. Where I will evaluate him is how much he plays in the games minutes-wise and how much he dominates against those two centers, how much he reacts to those double teams that come his way. He had 5 turnovers tonight. His kryptonite is Marc Gasol and the Toronto Raptors. How will he play against the Boston Celtics? And again, we'll get into that as we preview the series going forward, starting next week where the Sixers and Celtics battle it out in game number one for the 7-game series in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But, yeah, Mitch, I understand. And they're going to need that guy big time against the Celtics when things get underway. 610 632-0975. Let's go to Chris and Penn Salkin joining us next on the Fanatic. Chris, what's up, man?
What's up, Devon?
Hey, man. Flyers pick up that win, 2-1.
Oh, my gosh. I was telling the young lad, I'm like, I am so excited. I've never seen a team like this team in Philadelphia since we won the Super Bowl. They don't panic. They stick together. They stick to the plan. The coaching's on point. They adjust after every period. And hockey's probably my fourth sport. But I always watched them growing up. But my gosh, this kid's awesome in net. Then the 20-year-old gets the game winning goal. And then they're trying to bully him. And they're like, you're not bullying me. They're choking him out. It was like growing back up in Philly, man, 30 years ago. It was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
So what I hope some of the Sixers were watching this game tonight, because this isn't even close, man. Forget about even the coaching, Devon. Even the players, their mindset, their toughness, their grind, they're not even close to the Flyers. And basketball players and hockey players are all around similar to the same age. Because you can get like a 38-year-old NFL player, you know what I mean, that's holding on, that's still a starter, like Jason Peters. But, I mean, wow, man, it's night and day. And I didn't even realize that. My daughter called me out. She's watching her boyfriend's house. She's like, because, you know, you see, you see my youngest one. My oldest one doesn't come down a lot.
Right.
The one that has the boyfriend. And she said, Dad, she goes, it's night and day. I go, I'm calling Devon right now. So I called you up, and I wanted to ask your thoughts. And I hope I'm wrong, but I just see disaster in the future for the Sixers. I think we're going to be next 6, 7, 8 seed, and I'm not going to pay $9,000 for my seats.
Yeah.
I'll give it next year, and I'm out. They can do that waiting line stuff. But they're still taking $652 out of my credit card every month, and I'm not even going to go to games.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every other team in Philadelphia, they gave me an opportunity to opt out but hold your season tickets. They credited me my $1,800 from last year because of the games, and they're still whacking me for this year, and there's not going to be any games in October. It's just not cool, but I don't want to get negative. I love you. I love 4 for 4. And Devon, I don't know anything pretty much about hockey, but I like it, and it looks good. These kids are exciting. You have a blessed evening. Give your kids hugs and kisses, and let's go, Flyers!
That's right. That's right, Chris. Have a good one. Yes, that's right. We wanted to let that play a little bit and let you hear that as the Flyers lit the lamp tonight twice. Provorov and Farabee with the goals, making sure they lock things down against the Canadiens in game number one of their 7-game series in round number one. Flyers' next game will be 3 o'clock on Friday, right here at 97.5 The Fanatic. No doubt about it. 610-632-0975. So again, we're taking your phone calls on both the Sixers and the Flyers. Both had games tonight. Phillies did play as well, resulting in a loss. To the Baltimore Orioles again. All right? Baltimore Orioles, one more time, have taken down the Philadelphia Phillies in a game that the Phillies were up early, and then they dropped it again. They lost this one tonight 5-4, and the Phillies are back at it They're back at it tomorrow, 4 o'clock, against the Orioles. This is the final game of their 3-game set. I think it's the final game of the 3-game set. Yes. And then they take on the Mets for 3 over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, before they hit the road for like 80 games against Boston, Buffalo / Toronto, Atlanta, and Washington as well. All right. 610-632-0975. How do you feel about those Flyers taking the W? We'll get to Brett Brown in a little bit, get the audio of him speaking about Furkan Korkmaz and his trust with his defense, not his shooting, his defense. Then we will get to Brett Brown speaking about Al Horford and his play. You know he trusts Al Horford. He's a vet. This is what they brought him in for. No Simmons now. No Simmons now. Al Horford is going to be a key contributor to the 76ers down the stretch here as they get ready for the playoffs to get underway. And we'll also speak about how comfortable he felt with the defense and how they performed against the Toronto Raptors defense, which, like Mitch brought it up, Toronto Raptors. I said this when there were still chances that they can get into a different spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs, that the Toronto Raptors were the team that scared me the most. And a lot of it did have to do with Embiid and how he plays against Marc Gasol, because Marc Gasol just has his number. Embiid can put up 20, I know, and it'll look decent. But you know, if you watch the game, he's left a lot more out there. And with him leaving that a lot more out there, part of it is the kryptonite of Marc Gasol and what he does to Embiid to make things so difficult for him on the floor. Sometimes you just have those players that cause big problems for you. Sometimes you just have those players. And Marc Gasol is that player for Joel Embiid. But they don't have to see them into the second round. First, they have to get by the Boston Celtics in the first round, where that could be a problem for the team, led by Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, Marcus Smart off the bench, Brad Stevens, who got a contract extension today with the Boston Celtics, well-deserved. He is a fantastic coach. Nate McMillan, the head coach of the Indiana Pacers, also a contract extension for the Pacers. He only got 1 year, but he was explaining how, with the unusual circumstances of where things are right now, normally he doesn't do that in season, but with the way things are right now, it was necessary for them to get it done, and they got it done. 1 year extension for McMillan, a multi-year deal, I believe, for Brad Stevens, where he got his extension, well-deserved by him, with the team that they have put together, and they are a fantastic squad. Brett Brown is going to have his hands full against Brad Stevens in round number one. And we'll get to some of the audio of his post-game press conference with the assembled media via Zoom following the loss to the Toronto Raptors. Again, the score 125-121. We did not give you the Raptors numbers. We'll do that on the other side as well, just to kind of let you know what they did against the Sixers this evening. Led by, we'll give you that, a 19 each from Chris Boucher off the bench, Kyle Lowry for 19 points for the Toronto Raptors as well. So a loss that didn't mean much to the team. They already had the number six position locked in the Eastern Conference. So not worried about that as of yet with where they are. So, you know, in terms of where they were with this game tonight against the Toronto Raptors, you know, it was nothing. No big deal. No big deal. You wanted to see them come away with, again, it's just a confidence booster. But since they did not get it done, we're not going to lose any sleep, certainly, with that loss to the Raptors tonight. 125-121. They are now 3-4 inside the bubble. One game remaining against the Houston Rockets on Friday. Doubt that we will see many of their players either, because they are now locked into a playoff situation against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're locked into the Thunder right now in the first round, where they will match up the 4-5. Now, listen, they are 44-27. I don't know the tiebreakers, and it doesn't really matter, right? If we say who wants home court advantage and all of that stuff, it doesn't matter at this point. It doesn't matter, because they're going to be in the same setting. The Utah Jazz, they face the Spurs that they take on in their final game? Yes, the Spurs, 6:30 tomorrow inside the bubble, the Jazz do. And in the standings right now, they will face the Denver Nuggets in the first round matchup. And the Nuggets, man, they're something else. They're playing the Clippers right now, down 108-101 with under 5 minutes to play. The Nuggets are good, though. They have so many things to throw at you in a lot of different ways. And they are a very talented group. Mike Malone is a very good coach. The Utah Jazz are without Bogdanovich. Quinn Snyder is a darn good coach, though, led by Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Joe Ingles, and many others. Jordan Clarkson coming off the bench. And at the point guard position, Mike Conley playing better since he's been back and healthy now inside the bubble. That's going to be a very good matchup. But the big deal is going to be Portland, Memphis, Phoenix, and San Antonio, as we watch them on the final games for all four of those teams tomorrow. They all play on Thursday, all four of them. Memphis plays the Bucks. Phoenix takes on the Mavericks. San Antonio against the Jazz. And Portland, the Nets. All of those games have meaning. We talked about the Sixers. All of them have meaning, big time meaning, tomorrow, starting at, I think, like 2 o'clock, one of their games. And I think Phoenix is 4 o'clock, something along those lines. I'll be locked into the Phoenix game before I come into the studio. Me and the girls, we're going to be sitting down watching Mikhail, seeing if they can get this W. But, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun tomorrow. And now the Sixers with the Oklahoma City Thunder win over the Miami Heat, 116-115. The Sixers now have the Oklahoma City's 2020 draft pick. All right, it was top 20 protected, so now we're probably looking at somewhere along the lines of 21-22 in the draft for the Philadelphia 76ers. So they need more young pieces. They do. Matisse Thybulle was a nice grab at 20. They were sitting at 24 or 22 before the trade was made, and they moved up to 20. Boston gave them Matisse Thybulle, and we know about the Carson Edwards angle of it and all of that stuff. But the Sixers need more youth on their team. Shake Milton playing a key role. Matisse Thybulle, a key contributor. It doesn't hurt to have another possible wing or big man or another guard to go along on their roster with where they are right now to add that type of piece to the 76ers roster going forward. So final segment coming up on the other side. We will hear from Brett Brown in the audio that comes from his postgame presser. We continue to talk about the Flyers in their first game victory over the Montreal Canadiens, 2-1. Carter Hart, tremendous with 27 saves, giving up the one goal in this particular contest against the Montreal Canadiens. Hey, it happens. Sometimes it happens. You're allowed to give up that one because you're not going to stop them all every time. And Shea Weber is a darn good player to get that one through. The game number 2 is on Friday at 3 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And the Phillies fall 5-4 to the Baltimore Orioles. One more game against them. That will be the getaway game tomorrow for the Phillies. 4 o'clock pitch to start things off for the Phillies tomorrow against the Baltimore Orioles. 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens. Final segment upcoming on the other side here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 11:30, 97.5 The Fanatic. Final segment 4 is here as we go until midnight, so we got about a good 22 minutes commercial free, and then we're out of here until tomorrow, 7 o'clock. We are on the air tomorrow following Cousins Corner with Anthony Gargano from 6 to 7. So we'll have you from 7 to 10 tomorrow night right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll talk, I'm sure, of course, some Flyers, some Sixers, some Phillies. They'll be in action, probably driving us. No, they'll be just finishing up probably once we get started at 7 o'clock and driving us nuts in the process as we get ready for the start of the show. 610-632-0975. Tonight, if you want to get to us to talk about the Flyers' victory, the Sixers' loss, and their matchup against the Boston Celtics, or the Phillies falling to the Baltimore Orioles tonight 5-4. 610-632-0975. Before we get to Brett Brown and the audio, and are we also going to have some, I know, Dill, you said there was some Alain Vigneault possibility as well, so we'll see what we have from Alain Vigneault on the Flyers' victory also. But right now, let's go to the phones, check in with our friend Brian Plymouth Meeting on 97.5. What's up, B?
Hey, Devon. Great night. Flyers are off to a good start.
Yes, sir. 2-1. Get it done. See you back on Friday.
For sure. And I always love it when people call up and they're like, I've been watching the Phillies for 60 years. I've been watching the Eagles for 50 years. I've been watching the Flyers for 35 years. I can remember being down the shore, 7 years old, and watching the 85 Stanley Cup Finals. And I thought a power play was like Pac-Man, where the whole Flyers team took a bunch of power pellets. and they had like superpowers. That was my introduction to hockey.
Power Pellas, I love it.
I mean, thankfully we had Pelle Lindbergh that time around, but no, Carter Hart was great. The team is so well coached. Like, none of the Canadians had any space to operate at all. Like, the Flyers team is just so well drilled. They're all pretty fast, but, you know, like, some Flyers teams have, like, fast, like, individually fast guys, but this team has team speed. Even, like, Couturier looks, who can't skate, like, I mean, I can probably skate better than Couturier again. I mean, Couturier is an amazing hockey player, but he just looks like he has a skate
stuck
in cement a lot. amazing game, amazing goaltending. I mean, both the goalies had, like, that Carey Price save. Did you see that?
Yes. Yes, sir.
We watched like five replays of that before we realized that he had actually got his stick on that. Like, maybe it went off the skate, whatever. But no, it's good to be inundated with sports and looking forward to a weekend of watching sports, and it's good it's all back.
It is good to have it back, right? And, you know, with no interruption, that's a great thing. The NBA came out today, Brian, with another result for their testing. Zero positive tests will come back, and that's a great thing. We'll see what happens when they allow people to come into the bubble. Some protocol was put out there for families and who, in terms of your family, is allowed to come into. But like you just said, man, it's just good to have sports back. And when you have a team like the Flyers be playing at the level of which that they're playing, where they kind of snuck up on everyone during the season and then kept it going and then picked it up after the hiatus. And now, even though it's only game one, it gives people something to look forward to and to feel good about with Philadelphia sports.
100%. Everyone can get behind it. And it would have been so predictable. Like, we've seen a lot of hot streaks, especially with the Flyers. I mean, they're hot and cold. So it would have been very predictable that they got shut down on a hot streak, and then they come back and they just don't look like the same team. Right. They picked up where they left off, which, I mean, you got to tip your hat to them.
And that goes to the coaching, keeping them ready, keeping them engaged, and then the veterans as well. Everyone else is flat out believing in what the head coach is preaching.
Yeah, I mean, if Vigneault wants to come coach the Sixers, I'm all aboard with that.
Well,
you know what I was thinking, though, also before I called? I'm sorry, Devon. I just got to step in. People, the Sixers are never going to play the Flyers. So don't, like, they're not competitors. So stop treating it like that.
Thank you. They will never play unless there's some charity game where they're playing softball against one another. That's the only kind of competition that they're going to have, and they're probably going to do that for charity. So let's stop having them compete against one another. Quickly, I know we'll get into this as we go, but your thoughts, Sixers, Boston, round one, no Simmons, what are you thinking?
I mean,
Embiid can win you a game. He's that good.
I mean, Embiid could win us the whole series.
He could.
But Devon, I just do not want to hear the clucking from the Celtics when we're playing one very important piece down. Like, we would have trashed them if we had Simmons, but we could still beat them. We totally could still beat them if everybody else stays healthy and Embiid crushes it. We could do it.
He has to crush.
There's no one that can stop him.
Tobias Harris played. This game probably meant nothing, but I thought this was one of the more aggressive Tobias Harris that I've seen in a while. And that's the Tobias Harris that they're going to need in order to beat the Boston Celtics to go along with Embiid, man. So
it's really tough out on the perimeter, though, without Simmons. Because
he's the focus. The sole focus for their defense to stop on a perimeter.
Right. You lock him down on Tatum, and then you switch off that. But once now Tatum is guarded by an inferior defender, now you're constantly trying to play catch-up.
Yep.
It's going to be tough.
Yep, absolutely. B, thanks for the call, man. We'll talk to you. We'll catch up for sure. You got it, man. 610-632-0975. Yes, they can beat the Boston Celtics. Probably will not, unless Embiid just goes on a tear as the best player that we expect him to be on the floor against the Boston Celtics. He is the best player in this series, hands down. Will he show up and be that best player and for everyone else to do their part also out there on the floor? 610-632-0975. Let's go to Tony in Overbrook, next on the Fanatic. What's up, Tone?
What's up, Divine?
What's going on?
Last time I read to you, I tweeted you on the NBA shutdown when I told you that the girl I picked up, you know, what's the dude from St. Joe's plays with Detroit?
Galloway. Yeah. I remember that phone call where you told me about the positive test. That was in March, March 11th.
I was on my Uber, man. And, like, after she got out, because she, like, I hugged my cousin. I was like, oh, my God. Like, you know, contact, man. What's going on, man? But, yo, man, I listen to you, man. You my sixer guy, okay? Uh-huh. I don't call in, but I listen. Yo, you got to talk me off a ledge. I don't like Neto. I heard he might have had a good game today, but I don't like that brother. I don't like him, man.
He had two good games. Yesterday he had 22. Tonight he had 17. And he's looked pretty good.
But, wasn't he up by four? He took a long shot. Am I tripping? I was listening to Tom again. I thought he took a weird shot at, like, when he were up by four.
When they were up by four. I did see he... I switched to the Flyers and had the Sixers play-by-play with Tom on, so I didn't see the play. I heard it and understand what you're talking about. So you're basically talking about, again, situation, the time, what was going on.
Yeah, situational basketball.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I'm not going to judge him on one play at the end of a meaningless game, but he has played very well these last two. Alec Burks, I believe, is going to be the person that we see with the first minute off the bench between the two of those guys. But Brett Brown has liked Neto. And if he wants to go to a more of a pure point guard for situational periods that you're talking about, Tone, I have to believe that he's going to lean Neto.
Divine, this is how I feel about Neto. You know that bumper y'all got with Sidney Crosby talking about, what don't you like about him?
I just don't like him.
That's my joke with him, man. You could have gave me 20 good reasons up to, like, yo, Divine, I don't like him. But, yo, man, like you said, man, we need Embiid to just show out, man. That's the only chance we got, man. Embiid got to show out.
He has to be. He has to be the guy. Has to, has to.
Because I don't
want to
hear no more Divine, too. Like, I'm the most unstoppable player. Show me, man. I don't want to hear it. Show me.
Yeah, I said this to Tone. I said this as well. Every time he said, like, before they went to Orlando and the Sixers.com spoke to him and he said, I just want to go out there and, you know, I feel like it's my time. Well, guess what, Tone? He keeps saying that. Now is his time because Ben Simmons will not be available in round number one. He's technically done for the season. So now is his time to be Joel Embiid and win a series like Ben Simmons has done for the 76ers.
All right, listen, man, I'm going to let you go, but listen, I'm getting ready to enjoy a little cocktail and a little hookah, but you have a good night, bro.
You too, man. Appreciate it. All right. Thanks, Tone. Good to hear from you. Don't be a stranger. 610-632-0975. Dylan, I just sent you a funny thing into your direct message on Twitter. And you know what? Before you get to that, Dylan, and read that, let's go to Brett Brown talking about Furkan Korkmaz and his defense, because Neto, as Tony just talked about, Neto might have earned himself more minutes based on what he's done against Phoenix and here tonight against the Toronto Raptors. We'll see what he does against the Houston Rockets. But Furkan Korkmaz is firmly in the rotation, as we know, because of his shooting. But Brett Brown wants to let us know about something else that he's impressed with and has faith in him as well going forward.
Going quickly to, you know, what we do.
Oh, that was Elaine Vigneault. We'll get to Elaine with their win in game one over the Montreal Canadiens. Here is Brett Brown.
Made progress this year.
Reset that.
You know, he understood.
And then we can go to Brett Brown.
He's made great progress this year. You know, he understood well and truly that it was going to influence clearly how much he was going to play. And because we experienced some different things this year with lots of injuries, they opened up a door for him that he took advantage of. He's a great story, as we all know, his route to where he was to where he is. And I think that his defense has improved enough where I feel confident he can come in and play in an NBA rotation.
Okay. Well, I mean, he has faith. And has he improved? We've said this plenty of times about Furkan Korkmaz and his defense. He does try. He gives effort. Doesn't mean that there are positive results on the end of those things when it comes to his effort. There was a play.
It's like that Simpsons meme.
There's a play, the back into the bushes. There was a play that Howell Neto, that Tony was talking about, that Howell Neto blocked Kyle Lowry on a typical Kyle Lowry play. It was a good block. Kyle didn't even, you know, fight it and try to argue it. Turn around, try to go the other way, play defense. In the corner, Haun Neto then hit a three. Furkan Korkmaz from time to time will make a play also on defense, but I don't know going into the series against the Boston Celtics that I feel as confident as Brett Brown does when he has the likes of Smart off the bench, where he will come in when Korkmaz comes in, Tatum, Brown, Hayward, and also you know that they'll find him with Kemba Walker with the ball in his hands and find a way to switch him and get him caught. Devin Booker was doing it yesterday. Damian Lillard, who had dropped the 51 on the Sixers over the weekend, he did it. Find Furkan Korkmaz. That's what they're going to do in the playoffs. They're going to try to find him and exploit the matchup. I don't buy it. I want to see it. I don't buy it from Brett. I want to see it.
Yeah, I just think of that Simpsons meme with the cake. At least you tried. You throw away the cake.
Okay.
I mean, we saw it a couple years ago where they were going after Marco Bellinelli.
And he couldn't play.
And
he played him off the floor.
I assume it's going to be the same thing against Korkmaz, where it's just going to be going after Korkmaz. Attack him.
Same opponent.
Yeah.
Same opponent. And they sought him out. They found him. And they exploited him, and Marco Bellinelli became a negative, and he could not see the floor. They just couldn't put him on the floor. Now Brett Brown wants to talk about someone else with his defensive acumen and overall his new role back in the starting lineup for the 76ers, Al Horford. Here is Brett Brown speaking about his now power forward, starting power forward, Al Horford.
He just is so multi-purpose. And when you lose somebody like Ben Simmons,
all right,
and you're looking around at where are you going to make stuff up as it relates, especially to the defensive side of it, you know, some of it you can ask him to do. He's obviously a different designed athlete but his intellect and his lateral quickness and his toughness, those can overcompensate for a lot. We have all seen firsthand the Celtics' defensive success that he had on a few of our players. And so you look forward to sort of flipping the uniform and bringing it more our way. And he will be very important, especially, as I said, without Ben Simmons.
Yes, that again, he is correct. Brett Brown speaking on Al Horford postgame, following the loss to the Raptors, knowing that the seeding is already in place where they're going to play the Boston Celtics in round one in the Eastern Conference playoffs. The Sixers did have success 3-1 with Ben Simmons out there on the floor against the Celtics during the regular season. Al Horford did have some success also against those players, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. They struggled against the Sixers for the most part throughout the four games, Gordon Hayward as well. The difference here is no Ben Simmons. So a lot more is going to be on the shoulders defensively for Al Horford, trying to guard those players as well in a different role with no Ben Simmons out there. So I do trust Al Horford, but that's a different group that we're going to see out there with that Celtic team against Al Horford. Hopefully the physicality bothers them, but we'll see. Offensively, the edge goes to them, but Horford has done a nice job against them this season.
And he looked pretty good they had him on Siakam a lot. He did a pretty good job of.
He did.
You didn't hear Siakam's name as much as you usually would when it's a Raptors game. So, I mean, he's talking about Horford filling in for Ben defensively against those big forwards. Yeah, he can do that, but I mean, he's not going to be able to do everything Ben does. I mean, Ben can guard a guard. He can guard a two guard. Horford's not going to be able to do that.
He can guard 1-5.
Yeah. Horford can guard really well.
He can hold his own.
Yeah.
Can't guard 1-5.
He's a very good defender for his position, but he's not the same as Ben Simmons, and they're going to miss that, especially against Tatum and Brown, where Ben did such a good job against them this year.
Yeah, he did. One more before we get to Elaine Vigneault, Brett Brown speaking on the fact that they are. Is this one on the Celtics, playing the Celtics? This is Brett Brown speaking about their first round matchup next week, starting next week against the Boston Celtics.
I got a lot of respect for Brad. It's true. We've had tons of experiences, you know, regular season playoffs over the past few years. I think the team is very unique in that there is just so much firepower at several positions. You know, the Philly sort of Celtics rivalry is story. And so to be able to have this opportunity again, we're excited. Treat this series with tremendous respect, but it's certainly one that we're excited to compete against them.
It will be a competition for sure. This is going to be a... This is going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one. Brian was right. They can beat them. They certainly can beat them. But it has to come from a strong performance from Joel Embiid. And I mean strong performance, because no one can defend him the right way. Tice is a good defender, but Embiid is a different animal. But he has to be Embiid, the all-NBA player, not the all-star only. We need the all-NBA Joel Embiid to go out there and flat out destroy the Boston Celtics front court. Get them in foul trouble and then make them adjust to you. A quick update here for the Canadiens-Flyers game. The final score is still 2-1, but an official scoring change has happened where the goal at 8:54 in the first period that was credited to Ivan Provorov now reads Jacob Voracek from Provorov and Claude Giroux. But if you remember looking at the how the game played, when the puck went towards the net, Voracek was right there, right in front of the net. So I'm assuming that he touched it, however, some way, somehow, and they're giving him the credit for the goal instead of Provorov, who it's now from Provorov and Claude Giroux. So I guess the assist goes to those two guys. In how the official scoring went. Speaking of that, they got the win 2-1 over Montreal. Let's go to the winning head coach of the Philadelphia Flyers to talk about his win over the Canadiens this evening.
Going quickly to, you know, what we do best. I thought in the second period, Montreal played a real strong period. They were first on pucks. They were they made us make bad decisions with the puck, and they looked real fast. So there's no doubt that this is, you know, what we expected. A low scoring, tight checking game. Two good teams, good goaltending on both sides, and hard fought game.
Hey, and they're going to go back at it one more time when they face off on Friday at 3:00. And once again, you can hear that right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. So let's get ready. Is that the only one that we have from Vigneault?
We also have some Carter Hart if you want.
All right, let's go to Carter Hart, the number one star of the game, coming up with the victory. Carter Hart, after his performance, picking up the win in game number one.
Honestly, like, just prepared the same. Coming into the playoffs here, I mean, it's a different situation for everybody. I mean, it's having a long break there between, but you know what? We all prepare the same. We do all our video for games to get ready, and everybody has their own way of preparing. So you just have to prepare like it's any other game.
Okay. And
already talking like a vet.
That's right. Just get ready for what's coming for you next, which means another physical game against this team on Friday. They're not going to let up, and they're not desperate yet, but they want to make sure that they tie things up against the Flyers instead of falling in a 2-0 hole to the hottest team in hockey, if you will.
Yeah, he's going up against his idol. I mean, Carey Price, they said, was like his idol growing up. It's who he wanted to be, and now he's outplaying him. I mean, Carey Price had a fantastic game.
Imagine what it's going to do for his confidence.
Carter Hart was better.
Imagine what it would do for his confidence if he's able to beat his idol in this matchup here against the Canadiens. So, listen, Dill, thanks so much, man. Great work by you during the Sixers game, following things up here with the show tonight. Really appreciate your help. Special thanks to Tyler Zuli, Marty Dickerson, Tom McGinnis, and Brian Seltzer for their work during the Sixers broadcast. They will be back at it on Friday for the final seeding game against the Houston Rockets. A 9:00 tip right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. So we'll be back to get you ready for that. So special thanks to those guys. Thanks to all the callers, the tweeters, and the listeners out there. Really appreciate it. Once again, the programming note, we'll be back tomorrow at 7 after Cousins Corner. Flyers pick up game one victory tonight over the Canadiens. Sixers fall in game number 7 of the seeding game with one more remaining. They are now locked into the 6th seed. and we'll play the Boston Celtics in round number one next week. Phillies in game number two against the Orioles of a three-game set fall to the Orioles, 5-4. Back at it tomorrow, 4 o'clock for the Phillies against those Orioles in the getaway game before they hit the road for like 13 games on the road. So thanks so much. Have a great night, Dylan. Have a great night as well. I'll talk to you tomorrow, 7, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.